Before I start reading, actually, I'm going to read from my phone. Forgot my Bible at home. What? Forgot my Bible? Yes, I did. And if I don't read from my Bible, I don't like to read any other Bibles, you know, so I'm going to read from my phone. But I'm going to tell you a little funny story before I start reading. About 20-some years ago, we were back in Albania, and we had this big church service, okay? So we would do them every year, and we would go and invite, at that time we were the International Churches of Christ. So we would invite a lot of people, especially young people in the camp on campus and all of that. And I remember in that church service, it was about 400, 500 people, you know? And the auditorium was a theater. So the steps or the seatings would go a little vertical this way. And I was here. And I don't know if I was doing the preaching or whatever I was doing. But one of the friends from Boston, friend of mine, he had given me do you remember those Palm? Used to call them a Microsoft product. And, you know, I was young and in college. And if you had one of these gadgets at that time, you would just kind of walk a little bit, you know, and I had prepared the lesson on that Palm thing. And so I come and I was just about to start talking, but imagine 400 or 500 people, you know, and I pull up the Palm to take my notes. Nothing would come on the screen. Nothing. I'm like, what? I press the buttons. Nothing would just come on. I'm like, it was working perfectly fine. So I hope that my phone will cooperate with me today. But so I had to tell him, listen, hey, I have this thing here. It's not working. I have my notes. And I would just started to talk and do my lesson, whatever I share. All right. So Romans 8. We're going to read from verse 28 all the way down to verse 39. I was reading this the other day, not necessarily preparing for the communion, but I thought, you know what, it will be a great scriptures here that I can share for the communion. So let's read about it. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the first among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height or depths nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I mean, this is loaded with a lot of stuff. But I'm going to focus our attention on a couple of items here. So verse 30 says, and those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Now, I just want a side note. Predestined, I'm not going to spend any time here to talk about the doctrine of predestination. You know, we know 1 Timothy chapter 2, God wants everybody to be saved and all of that. So I'm not going to even touch that. But I don't want to bypass it like that. But I want us to focus the attention on to, he calls, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. I'm like, glorified? So I went to check the word in Greek. What does it mean, glorify? And the word in Greek meant, the way it's used here is that being excellent, something that is great, something that is to be given praise. So I'm reading this, and I'm thinking about, generally speaking, you know, about our relationship with God. How do we view our relationship with God? What place do we come from? What is our perception in our relationship with God? Generally speaking, I was thinking that we can come from two places. And when I mean we can come from, I'm thinking about our background, our mindset. So we can come from the perspective when we see God, when we see ourselves in God, either in the beginning when we became Christians or in our walk with God, or maybe not all the time, we can come from the perspective of thinking of ourselves in God is that we are this sinful, wretched, not worthy human beings. And we can don't deserve anything. We're barely making it. We can just walk and, oh, I'm so terrible. And you name it. Now, I'm not saying that we think like that all the time. But is this the thinking that we have as a Christians in God? And if we hold this type of thinking for a long time, we're going to start seeing ourselves in God this way. So, and if we see ourselves in God this way, we're going to start behaving because our actions, our beliefs determine our actions. The way we see ourselves and the way how God sees us, or the way we see ourselves in God, determines how we're going to walk, how we're going to live our life here on earth. And the question is that, is it true? Well, what I read from the scriptures, I just emphasizing the verse 30, that he also justified and he also glorified. And the other perspective that we can have and how we can see ourselves in God is exactly what God thinks about us. Here it says that he justified and he glorified us. Now, what does it mean he glorified us? Is that he sees us completely different from the other perspective, what I was describing right now. He sees us as beautiful. Yes, we are sinful. Don't get me wrong. I'm not fluffing this. But the way God sees us, he doesn't accuse us. Who accuses? Satan. He's the enemy. He accuses us day and night. God, he sees us, he justified. What does it mean, justify? He put us the white robe. He cleansed us. When he sees us, he doesn't see any more Thomas or Toma, you know, this is wretched, this sinful and all of that. Although I do, but God sees me completely pure with a white robe. And in Hebrews, it says that he made us a little lower than the angels. And when I read this, and the scriptures continue to talk about that, we're not these creatures that we walk here like a failures. But we are more than conquerors. That's what the scriptures is talking in here. Not because we, with our strength, we are more than conquerors. But in verse 37, it says that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So it's not our strength that makes us, and it's not our who we are, that we are these beautiful creatures. It's God made us pure. And the way he looks at us is that we are not just a failures or a failure human being. We are conquerors. And there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God shown in Jesus. When I studied the Bible 25 years ago, yes, the motivation of going to heaven and the fear of God was there. But you know what was the biggest thing for me and was stick with me for days and years to come? It says right in here. No one, Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. When I learned that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as much as I could understand at that time, died for me because he loves me so much, I was completely sold. I didn't need nothing else. Just the thought alone that Jesus Christ died for me, it was just enough for me. Because that's where I touched God's love. And that thought alone just stick with me for days and weeks and months and years to come. Now, do I always think like that? Do I always walk with that type of thinking? No, I don't. You know, there are times, and that's probably the reason a couple of weeks ago I went to read the Romans 8, is because I was feeling a certain way. And I wanted to go back and redefine or capture again the definition that God has for me. Not what I think about myself, but what God thinks about me in Christ Jesus. And when I read that, I'm like, this is fascinating. All these thoughts that are coming to me, I just want to take them, delete them, and throw them in trash. Because this is not who I am. Or so much more, this is not who God thinks who I am. And that's the most important thing. So this is a reminder for all of us as a Christians today. And that's why we gather together. That we can be reminded of the love that God has for us. And what God thinks about us. They say that these so-called successful people are there. And again, we can talk about definition of success and all of that. But let's say people that are have businesses or, you know, that are there, that, you know, whatever you want to. They say that at the bottom, after they break down what made them to be where they are, even athletes or what, you name it, at the bottom, at the lower level, inside of their heart, they say that they needed to feel important. They never ever felt important in their lives. So that feeling right there made them to do what they needed to do to be right there. Or they say that I never felt loved enough in my heart, in my life. And that feeling that they never felt like that made them to go there because they felt that by working hard, by becoming successful, they're going to be able to, or other people look at them as to grow their self-importance. That's why they work so hard. That's why they do all of that. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that's a wrong thing. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying for us as a Christians, we have it right in here. There is nothing can separate us from the love of God that is shown in Jesus Christ. That's it. We don't need nothing else. If we really capture this thought and we get it deep in our hearts, in our soul, there is nothing else that we need. We're going to be completely fulfilled inside of us. And if we walk with this, then it's going to change the way how we look at life, how we look at ourselves, how we look at other people, and even more, how we look at the obstacles in our lives. And even more, as I read the scriptures, verse 28, in everything, God worked for the good of the ones who love Him. As Jesus Christ commanded us, stay in my love. So this is just a reminder for us.